Morning, Hope. We are in a new sermon series called Faith on Film, and the movie that we're looking at today that gives a glimpse into what's going on in our culture is actually a historical piece that is on the Oppenheimer, Robert Oppenheimer, who's the father of the atomic bomb, a very controversial character in history. And the movie that was made, it really got all the Oscars, it seemed, 7 major Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Musical Score, all sorts of things. And you saw in that scene, you saw a young Robert Oppenheimer starting to make sense of quantum mechanics. He's a brilliant theoretical physicist. Brilliant, a contemporary of Einstein, but he even thought that he was going to take Einstein's work to the next level, and in many ways he did. And the reason why this movie is incredibly relevant for us and why we're going to look at God's word into this relevant topic in our life is because the truth is we have a pretty complicated relationship with scientific advancement and technology. He was on the cusp of things. See, there was all sorts of advancements that was happening in warfare especially. You saw that the Germans, they had split the atom, and all of a sudden every physicist in the world knew that this could impact warfare. And so Robert Oppenheimer, he became the one to invent the atomic bomb, which of course, you know, there's some good things, if you can say that, and then some complicated things about that. Because World War II, depending on who you ask, took the lives of 55 to 80 million people. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. And the bomb that he created ended that war. Who knows how many more would have died? Of course, it's complicated because the bomb had to be dropped twice. And people estimate that that took another 210,000 lives. See, this technology, the power that he was able to achieve, it caused good, with a question mark, but it also caused some things, it's complicated, it caused some things that were really not good at all. See, his impact on history, it's more than just in World War II, because he paved the way to a whole new era where the hydrogen bomb, which was even bigger, would be created. And then there was the nuclear arms race and the Cold War era. And he played a role in all of these things. And the international concern around weapons of mass destruction that continues to this day. See, we've always had a complicated relationship with technology because it helps us, but it also hurts us. We live in a time, Oppenheimer is an extreme example, but we live in a time where we have more technology in our pocket than Oppenheimer ever had. We live in a time where our relationship to human advancements, scientific advancements, they're moving so quick and so fast that sometimes it's outpacing our ability to understand them or understand the impacts of them. And so there's all sorts of ways that this shows up, and it's easy to pick on phones because most of us have one. How many of you, go ahead, if you have a phone, go ahead and just pull it out. And how many of you already have it out, I see. Okay, that's fine. See, how many of you would say, I would love to have this have a little less grip on me? Are you with me? Anybody like me, you would love for your phone to not have its clenches in you, okay? Technology, it's so helpful. I mean, do you guys remember, some of you are old enough to remember that a phone used to have like that curly thing, okay? And it would attach to a wall and you'd walk around the corner like, Mom, Mom, Mom. And you know, you would have a corded phone. And then of course, some of you, one day they like put phones in cars. That was pretty exciting. But now you can go anywhere. And all the major corporations can track everything about you. It's a little scary. And there's so many cool things that, whether it's phones or whether it's AI. By the way, I wrote this sermon using ChatGPT. How's it going so far? I did actually type it in, though, and say, hey, ChatGPT, write a sermon on Oppenheimer and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, with Lutheran theology, and boom, it did it. I'm like, I'm out of the job in a couple of years, guys. I'm done. Why even have human pastors, right? Because it doesn't have a soul, people. It doesn't have a soul, okay? And some of us, truth be told, we would not even be alive right now without some of the human advancements that we've experienced, without the science and technology that we have been able to be a fortunate part of humanity to be able to experience that. And then there's also downsides. Technology, it's complicated. And actually, the thing that's complicated, it's not really even the technology part of it, it's the human part of it. It's helped us, but it's given us more power. And the more power that we have, the more that it can also hurt us. We all know all the great things our phones can do, but we also know all the things our phones can do. Technology and all human advancements of any kind, they've helped us and they've hurt us. And so here's what people tend to do, is we tend to say things like, and this is where the modern era came from, where the scientific method, which actually came from Christians that were trying to worship God in their pursuit of science, they were trying to understand God's world and what he had made. And all along the way, some people started to think, well, maybe do we even need to like incorporate faith in this? Because this will lead us to the truth. We'll just deductively discover the truth, and then everything will be fine, right? And that led to, eventually, the postmodern era. The era where all that technology and all the things that we thought were going to save us and lead us to truth, well, they ended up killing 55 to 80 million people. And then you saw Oppenheimer looking at that Picasso painting, thinking, what even is real? What even is truth? One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is you don't have to say no to science or faith, because they answer different questions. Science answers the question of what and how. Faith answers the question of who and why. And when you put both of them together rather than pitting them against each other, when you put both of them together, you get to answer more questions. And they get to inform each other in beautiful ways. See, the human advancements that we've experienced, we shouldn't shun them. We should embrace them. But also we need to figure out, how do we embrace them in a way that doesn't hurt us? How do we embrace them in a way that doesn't kill us? Whether it's literally, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Our relationship with technology, it can be complicated. But it's not because of technology, it's because of the people using it. In Oppenheimer, they discovered that the Germans had the science to make this bomb. And so there was a race, and they were filled with all sorts of fear. Because underneath of the technology, they were worried about the character. And sometimes we get so worried about the character of others. And how are they going to use technology? How are they going to use this against me? That sometimes we don't look in the mirror, which is exactly what Oppenheimer probably needed to do. Take a look. And so they construct Los Alamos, this town where they're going to convene all of the brilliant minds of America to beat the Nazis in this race to make this bomb. But did you see the pride? Did you see the thing that was driving them? It wasn't just their brilliance. Their brilliance, I mean, and this isn't just Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer was obviously a very brilliant and capable person, but so was General Matt Damon, or whatever his name is. General Groves, that's his name in history, okay? But General Matt Damon, he was a little arrogant himself. Played important roles in history, sure. But sometimes our pride, or maybe it's our fear can get in the way, and it drives us to the point that we're getting types of power and control in our hands without the maturity to handle it. The Bible reading from today, from 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the Greeks, and they love their philosophy. The Greek Christians in the city of Corinth, he says to them, if you think you are wise. Do you know anyone that thinks they're wise? But they're not. Do you know that person? How many of you are like, it's me? It's me. Most of us don't look in the mirror and think, you're not wise until we've royally messed it up, right? But we can look around and be like, that's not wise, that's not wise, that's not wise. But then you do the math. If we're all looking in the mirror and thinking that we're pretty wise, and then we're all looking around and we can see a lack of wisdom, well, I guess it's hard to see in the mirror, isn't it? So if you think that you're wise by this world's standards, this is what the Bible teaches, is that you need to become a fool. Okay, what's that mean? You need to become a fool to the world so that you can become truly wise. So you can become truly wise. In the Old Testament, there's this story that is oftentimes confused. I found it confusing growing up. It's called the Tower of Babel, and everybody was united, and they all spoke the same language, and they were constructing this big tower into heaven, was the idea. And then God comes down and looks at their work, when I was growing up, I kind of thought, like, really, God? Like, why would you do this? I mean, he comes down and he confuses their language so they have to stop construction, and then they're spread across the world. And of course, you could say, well, okay, he made the world more beautiful and diverse, that's great. But like, why? What's the deal with the tower? What's wrong with unity? What's wrong with having the ability and truth be told, from a physical standpoint, this tower was not going to reach into heaven. It's not like you get to the clouds, and then some of you, you've been on an airplane. You've been up there like, it looks nice up here, but where's Jesus? I don't see him up here. Because that's not how it works, even though that's how they were conceiving of it. And so he comes down, and he scatters them, and it's not because they were just so united, so smart together. They were so united and smart together, even at the beginning of humanity, that they started to think that they didn't need God. They started to think thoughts that would actually have eventually destroyed them. And in God's wisdom, he came and he scattered them. Frankly, an act that we probably owe humanity's existence to. In his wisdom, he scattered them so that they wouldn't destroy themselves. And so if you think that you're wise, if you think you have that kind of wisdom, be careful. We all have to be careful. Because sometimes the wisdom that we have doesn't keep up with the power that we get. Have you ever seen, you've been driving on the road and you look over at the stoplight and it looks like an 8-year-old is driving, but they're 16, but like to you, they're like, what? No, they can't be. And all of a sudden you feel very scared for your existence, you know, like, are the roads even safe anymore? But it really is just that you're getting old. Just me? I'm the only one that experiences this? Okay, fine. But the truth is that there's a reason that we don't give a car to an 8-year-old. There's a reason that we don't give a chainsaw to a toddler. They're going to get hurt or somebody's going to get hurt. And sometimes, I mean, you've seen this at work probably where someone got promoted into that position and they weren't ready for it. Sometimes we get power that we either take it for granted or we don't know how to wield it. We haven't, the amount of power that we've gained and the amount of wisdom that we've gained, well, the wisdom has lagged behind. Think about the power in your life. Whether it's the money that you have, the time you have, the education that you have, the vote that you have. What's the power in your life? The status that you have, the relationships that you have. There's all sorts of things that give you power and ability in this world. And when you think about those things, do you have enough wisdom to wield them appropriately? How about this? It's my belief that this is the new pack of cigarettes. How many of you were around when doctors would come into the office, they'd have their clipboard, and they'd have a cigarette in their mouth? How are you doing today? Anybody around for that? Raise your hand if you're around for that. Mostly the 8 a.m. crowd, okay, a few of you, all right. All right, very good. Some of you are like, is that a real thing? Yes, it is. That's why I had people raise hands. Why don't we do that anymore? We've advanced. We've learned some things. We've gained some wisdom along the way. 10 years from now, do you think we're going to have more information of how this is hurting us? Maybe. But we already have the information. The question is, are we going to do anything with it? Do we have the wisdom, or have we gained power faster than we've gained wisdom of how to use it? Because earlier in the service, we said, a lot of us, we'd like this to not have its hooks in us. Earlier in the service, well, it's not just earlier in the service, this happens for all of us. If you have kids, you've probably wrestled with, like, okay, do we get Life 360? Sounds like a youth group, do we get Life 360, and do we just, like, put it on a watch? Their friends all have phones. I don't want them to struggle socially. What's AI going to do to my job? Do I need to go back to school? All of these questions, they can scare us, they can fill us with fear. But oftentimes the solution to that problem is not to avoid technology or reject human advancement. Maybe it's that we need to be gaining wisdom as we gain more abilities and power. See, Oppenheimer, he had a hard time seeing it until they tested the bomb out. It was a test that was called the Trinity test, named after the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Interesting that this test would be named after God and described by Oppenheimer as divine power. Talk about taking God's power into human hands, right? This desire to control, this desire to be able to weave the future together exactly the way that we want. Have you gained power faster than you've gained wisdom? Well, that's how it went for Oppenheimer. Take a look at what happened when he saw the awesome power of the atomic bomb. And it was from that moment that Oppenheimer started to wonder if he'd done the right thing. It was from that moment that he saw the awesome, I mean, did you see their jaws drop? Did you see them start to question? And oh, it was awesome, and oh, it was powerful, and oh, maybe that meant that they could keep the Nazis at bay. But what would it mean for the rest of the world? See, the Bible reading from today, it goes on, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And of course, it's foolishness that the wisdom of this world would lead us to a war where 55 to 80 million people died. It's foolishness that war would have to end because we had to develop a bomb. And I just got to be honest about this movie. I don't think I said this at the beginning. This movie, it's not a happy ending. If you watch this movie, and some of you, like, this is one of those movies, it's 3 hours long, okay? And it's like, it's one of those thinker movies. You know what I'm talking about? The thinker movies where it's like you have to pay attention. You probably have to watch it a couple times. And some of you are like, I don't have 9 hours to watch a movie, like one movie, really. And so for some of you, you'll never watch this movie because it's just not your style, not your jam. And some of you are like, I love it. And the cinematography and all the things, all the reasons why it got awards. Yes, sure. Also, by the way, it's not a family movie, but I liked it. It was great, all right? So there you have it. I'll just fast forward a few parts, you know what I'm saying? But anyway. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God because of the destruction, but think about how scary that is. And next to it, think about how powerful God is. It got me thinking about this God who created our universe, and And so I got on Google, so because you know everything on Google is true. And so I got on Google, and I asked the Google, how many atomic bombs exist in our sun? And the answer is 10 to 15 trillion. And it showed me sources. I'm like, those look credible. There's a .org in there. It's probably fine. But imagine it. Not one atomic bomb that could alter the course of history. 10 to 15 trillion atomic bombs. By the way, it's not just at one or forever. It's each second in our sun. Every second, it's like 10 to 15 trillion atomic bombs are going off in the middle of the sun that our God made. By the way, did you know that NASA estimates that there is 1 septillion stars? That's 24 zeros. It's a lot of zeros. I didn't know that was a number. Did any of you know that was a number? I had no idea that that was a number. I never heard of it before. But NASA said it's a number, so I'm like, okay, NASA, you're smart. You know some things. We create a bomb and we kill ourselves. God, you know how he did it? By the breath of his word, he said, let there be light. He put the stars into place. 1 septillion stars. He's got more power in his word, in his breath, more brilliance in who he is than Oppenheimer would have ever dreamed or any technology that we'll ever develop. And yes, I'm not trying to minimize the scariness of Nazis having a bomb or the scariness of AI or the scariness of the mental health crisis that's happening that is perfectly correlated with the advent of the smartphone. We should just be honest about that. And like the Bible says, stop deceiving ourselves. We should just be honest and gain wisdom of what to do. But next to all of that scary stuff, we have this God who looks at all the things that scare us, and he has so much more power. And that power is on your side. That power, it's for you. In fact, there's this phrase in the Bible. It's misinterpreted all the time. It's the fear of the Lord. Everyone say, fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, which is exactly what we need in a technological age like ours. Wisdom. We don't just need green lights and red lights. We need yellow lights. We need wisdom. Fear of the Lord. Everyone say fear of the Lord like you're scared. Fear of the Lord. See, that's not actually how the Bible teaches it. The fear of the Lord is not I'm scared of what he'll do to me. The fear of the Lord is a recognition of how mighty and powerful he is. And an awe and a wonder that that power and that love and that all of that would be on your side for you. And all of that power, it was condensed into a tiny little human body. To a man named Jesus, it was so much more than a man. He was there speaking stars into existence. All of that power into one little tiny baby that grew up and then his own creation crucified him. He could have incinerated all of them. But he wasn't interested in incinerating humans. That's who he loves. He wasn't interested in getting rid of technology. What he was interested in was declaring war, dropping a bomb on sin, the thing that corrupts that, on death, the thing that separates us, the evil that's in this world. That causes us to need things like weapons and bombs and all of these things. He declared war on them on the cross, and this Savior, he died on the cross. See, technology is not a good Savior. It's a great tool, but not a great Savior. By the way, religion is not a great Savior. But the one who spoke stars into being, well, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. And Jesus, he also taught this. He says that anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is like a wise person. And where did this wise person build their house? He built it on the what? On the rock, the solid rock. It's a solid foundation. But he goes on and he talks about the foolish person. Where did the foolish person build their house? On the sand. and the sand as the flood waters come and the flood waters rise. Sand shifts, doesn't it? And the house falls with a crash. And I want you to know that you can build your house on a solid rock. A rock of a God who's to be feared, but not in the scared way, in the reverence way. To understand that his power and his love was greater than anything that could scare us in this world. And he is a good savior. Because there will be a day where all wars will end. And it won't be because one country has more power than others. There will be a day where all mental health will end. Because depression and anxiety will no longer have grips on us. Mental health issues that we face, the human part of our interaction with these machines, it's real. But so is the power of God. And so let's address both. Let's take science and faith and put them together. Let's be a people that is filled with hope in the middle of dark and dangerous times. Let's not just say, well, oh no, we should be scared of all of that scary stuff. Or we should be progressive in all these ways. This will save us. Don't forget who has the real power. And don't forget who's on your side. Because we can have both. We can have the advancements of technology and science, but we can do it with wisdom. And we don't have to be afraid. Because come what may, yeah, the floods come in this life, but our house is built on the rock of God's amazing power and love. Amen?